know the Spirit of God is the same. We are going to finish the topic that we started a few weeks ago, a grateful heart, which by God's grace, we all experienced it this morning during the praise and worship. A grateful heart. I will just give us a few summary of what we did. I'm not going to go too much to it. Our text is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And it reads thus, in everything, I will read the AMPC. Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you and I, who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and mediator of that will. Is the one that knows what is good for us. Is the one that has the will of our life in his hands. And that is why he's telling us that we should give thanks in everything, no matter what situation, no matter what circumstances. He's telling us that we should give thanks to him and be grateful for the gift of life. So that's what God wants to remind us this morning, that we should give thanks in everything. And I knew the last time we read that story of 2 Chronicles, whereby their enemies came up to them and they were afraid. But because they seek the face of God, God gave them an instruction and they did that instruction. They went through it and they gave thanks, praising God, and God turned over that situation. He just turned around and gave them victory. So that's where we ended. So this morning, we are going to start from there. Be thankful even in the midst of difficult circumstances in our lives. Circumstances may come every day, 24/7. Either you are on your way to work, you just had a flat tire. That's a circumstance. And in the middle of the highway, and people are rushing to work because it's very busy in the morning. That's a situation. You may have pain. Either you have pain in your hand. Any circumstances that may come. But no matter what that circumstances, God is instructing us and reminding us this morning that we should give thanks. In everything, he said we should give thanks, no matter what circumstances. So when we are going to read the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 6, from verse 10. This is a situation. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, the writing about something that will happen to him, like a plot, he went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knee 3 times a day. As he had done previously. That means, that sentence, as he had done previously, that means he used to do that all the time. He will go to God and pray and give thanks no matter what situation that he faced. And surely, our great and big God, that is more than enough of every situation that we may go through. And he always gave Daniel victory. So we have to emulate the same thing. We have to live a lifestyle of thanksgiving, no matter what, even if you don't have no money in your purse, because the Bible says, I will supply all your needs, according to my riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Even if your wallet is empty, even if your bank account is zero, God knows, and you have a bill of $5,000. Do you think it's possible? Your bank account is zero, and nothing in your wallet, and you have a 5,000 bills to pay. Even your worry, our worry and our anxiety cannot bring any money into our account. We're just stressing ourselves by being worried and just getting angry. Oh, do you know that I have to pay 5,000 tomorrow? I don't have anything in my bank account. We can't trust in anybody, because if you go to your friends may give you a situation. They will tell you, oh, me too, I have a bill to pay. But when we trust in the Lord our God, our big and great God. He knows how to put 10,000 in your account, even though you have to pay 5,000. He will double that amount in our account. So that is the reason why we have to trust in the Lord. We have to trust in the Lord. The Israelites, they trusted in the Lord. When they got to the Red Sea, do you think any human being can just make a way in the Red Sea? This our God is great. You know, we traveled a few days ago. And we went to a place yesterday. Honestly, my mind was just thinking about the vastness, the bigness, the greatness of our God. And you see the water like steam coming out. You are seeing the water in layers. I said, God, only you can do this. Only you can do this. We serve a great and mighty God, my brothers and my sisters. Let us live a lifestyle of thanksgiving and praise and worship to our God. There is nothing that is impossible for him to do. He said, with God, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible for our God. But we have to trust in him. We have to give thanks to him, no matter what circumstances, no matter what we are going through. See Daniel, they plotted evil against him. And he went. He deliberately opened his window so that they can see, because he is not scared to worship his God. I want to point out, it's not that you have to go to God 3 times a day. It's just an illustration there. But continually, we have to go to God and give God the praise, no matter what situation, no matter what circumstance, no matter what we are going through. God wants our praise and thanksgiving. He wants us to be grateful. That we wake up every morning is a gift of life. It's a privilege. It is not a right. We don't have that right. But God gave each and every one of us privilege every day to wake up. So that merely should give us the ability to say, God, I thank you. I know you are going to go ahead of me today. I know in all my ways your name is going to be glorified. When we have that lifestyle, you will see that our mind will just be peaceful. You don't bother about nothing because you already committed your ways, commit your life to the one that is able to take care of it every chapter, and he bring it to pass to his glory. So the seventh one, thank God for his continual presence and power in our life. God is always with us. In the book of Hebrews, he said, I am with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He promised us, all we have to do is to just trust him and just put our mind and have rest of mind that God said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Lo, I am with you now, even unto the end of the earth. Fear not, I am with you. He always gives us assurance that his presence is always with us. Acts, that is Hebrews 13, 5 to 6. You may not go there. That's what I just stated. Acts 17, verse 28. He said, for in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your poets have said, for we are also his offspring. He's the one that made us. He's the one that created us. We are the only image that God made in his image. We are the only creature that God created in his image. So that shows that we are the apple of God's eye. That shows that he has our interest in his heart. That shows that he knows what we need, even more than we know ourselves. God knows us. So we have to make sure that we thank God for his continual presence in our life. And the power of God is always with us. He's always with us. Matthew, Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He's telling us, he's giving us assurance that he will be with us wherever we go. Even when you are in the midst, when you are driving by yourself in your car, and we came in the bush all over here, nothing. And people are traveling, everybody is going. It's trust in the Lord that makes they trusted that car that I'm driving, it will take me to where I'm going. So all also, we have to know that the presence of God is with us, no matter, even if we are the only one in that place, He is with us. We should not allow fear to, you know, to weigh us down. So when we surrender our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the beginning of a whole new life. He is with us, is willing and wants to help us to follow Him and His word. He's always willing to be, you know, to take care of us, no matter what we want. He always wants to provide for our needs. So in our understanding, we do not have the strength that we need to live the way that God wants us to live. But when we thank Him that, God, I thank you because I know your presence is with me. I know your power is all over me, anywhere I go. You will not allow any evil to befall me. You will not allow any disease to come upon my body. Even when we are feeling pain, we have to go to the word of God and say what God says and thank Him for that word of healing, because He said He has taken away our pain, our sicknesses, and our diseases. And by His stripes, He has made us whole. So my brothers, my brethren, we need to thank God for His continual presence in our life. But when we make a completely turn to God, we discover that for God is working in you and I, giving us the desire to do what pleases Him. That is Philippians 2:13. We don't need to go there. Brethren, we need to be thankful and grateful to God for the presence and power of God that is always with us 24/7. The presence of God is always with us, even when you are in the midst of, you are having maybe like evil nightmare. You just woke up in the middle of the night, and you just discover that, oh, what kind of dream am I having? God is with us there. He's with us no matter what. And He's always wanting His will to come to perfection in our life. So He's with us every second, every minute, every hour, every day, every month, and every year. He's always with us. So Ephesians 5:2, He says, and give thanks for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to give thanks to Him in everything, in the name of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. So now we are going to go to examples of those who had a grateful heart in the Bible. Anna, I know all of us know the story of Anna. 1 Samuel 1, we are going to start reading from verse 10. Anna was in deep anguish. We all know the story, but we are going to remind ourselves. Crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord because she doesn't have a child. And she made this vow, O Lord of heaven's army, if you look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his ear will never be cut. Thank God we are in the dispensation of grace. We don't have that any longer. As she was praying to the Lord, Eli, the priest, watched her. Seeing her lips moving but hearing no sound. Because Eli was just looking. This woman is just acting as if she's drunk. She's just not talking. His lips are moving. He thought she had been drinking. 14, please. I will go on it here so that because of our time. Thank God for technology. Sometimes. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Anna answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou asked of him. And she said, let thy handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did it, and her countenance was no more sad, because she poured out her heart to God. 19. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped the Lord once more. Then they returned home to Ramah. Thank you. When Elkanah slept with Anna, the Lord remembered her plea. The Lord remembered her prayer. And in due time, she gave birth to a son. Whoever is here, you are looking unto God for the fruit of the womb. God has done it. Just be praising God. She named him Samuel, for she said, I asked the Lord for him. We are going to be using this and that together. The next year, Elkanah and his family went on his annual trip. This family, they go yearly to the temple to always give thanks to God and trip to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. 22. But Anna did not go because she had made a promise. She told her husband, wait until the boy is weaned, then I will take him to the tabernacle and leave him there with the Lord permanently. Whatever you think is best, her husband said, I agree. Elkanah agreed. Stay here for now, and may the Lord help you keep your promises. So she stayed home and nursed the boy until he was weaned, until the boy Samuel was weaned. When the child was weaned, Anna took him to the tabernacle in Shiloh. They brought along a three-year-old bull for the sacrifice and a basket of flour and some wine, because she wanted to go and be grateful to God and fulfill the vow that she made. After sacrificing the bull, they brought the boy to Eli. Sir, do you remember me? He tried to remind Elkanah. Anna asked, I am the woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. 27. For the child I prayed, and the Lord had given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, also, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. So Anna came back and gave thanks to God. She was grateful for God answering her prayer. So what do we do when God answers our prayer? Do we go back and give thanks? This is an example in the Bible. It's not that it's a drama. Thank God for our drama unit. It is a real story. It is a real thing that happened. So we have to make sure that we give thanks, because Anna came back and gave thanks to God. We should always go back and give thanks to God. Even when we pray, the Bible says, whatsoever we ask for in prayer, believing, we have received. After that prayer, we should have peace of my God, I thank you because you have answered my prayer. Even we may not have got that thing physically, but we should just be thanking God, because we know God answers our prayer. He's the one that asks us to ask. He's the one that asks us to knock, and he will open the door. He's the one that has us to seek him, and we are going to find him. So we have to make it our own lifestyle to always be appreciative of what God does for us in our life, the one that is doing, and the one that is yet to do. We have to give thanks, because that is our God. He's the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he remains the same forever. So number two, another example is David. David, 2 Samuel 6, 14 to 15. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, wearing a priestly garment. So David and all the people of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts of joy and the blowing of ram's and horn. You see here, David danced when he brought the ark of the Lord from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with great celebration. They were celebrating. They were thanking God for what God did for them. And he danced. He wasn't even ashamed. He said, you know what? This is my God. He did this for me. I'm going to dance before him. which by the grace of God we are going to do this morning. So in the scripture, David was a man known for prayer. David was a man that is known for prayer. When we go to the book of Psalms, you will see a lot of the way David was so grateful of God's goodness, of the mercy of God, of the steadfastness of God, of God's faithfulness. Even in the darkest seasons and times of his life, he praised and thanked God always. Let's read Psalm 150. Always, David was always praising God. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the heavens of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. He's always full of mighty acts. Praise him according to the abundance of his greatness. Indeed, our God is great. Praise him with trumpet sound, with those instruments that we have here. Praise him with lute and harp. Verse 4. Praise him with tambourine and single or group. That is, in group as we are here, or by herself. Praise him with string and wind instrument or flute. Praise him with resounding cymbals when we beat in the drum. Praise him with the loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath and every breath of life praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we have to make it our day-to-day life to always praise and appreciate God. You see, David, he always praised God. So in the book of Psalms, David always recognized God's goodness, his faithfulness, as I mentioned earlier. Psalm 100. We are not going to be able to read everything. We can write some down. Psalm 100, verse 1 to 5. He said, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. He's talking to all of us. We are the one that he has given breath. He said we should make a shout of praise to him. Psalm 107. Psalm 107, verse 8. You can put all the verses down. You read verse 8 to 9, 15 to 16, 21 to 22, then 31. We can't go over everything, but you can write it down. You see, I mentioned that because in that Psalm 107, this particular verse that I want to read is all repeatedly, all through that Psalm 107. Oh, that men will praise, will give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. There is a song like that. Oh, that man will praise the Lord. Oh, that man will praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, to the children of men. For his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, to the children of men. He has broken the gates of wrath and caught the bars of iron asunder. We have to praise God every time. When you start praising God, you will not know the time that your fear will go. Your depression, your sadness will go. You see, when I was preparing this in the morning yesterday, I have a message for us. As I was preparing, God just told me, get up from your seat and start dancing. I was just dancing in that room by myself. I was just dancing. And in a twinkle of an eye, in a few minutes, I don't know what was wrong with me. I was just moving all over. I know it's the praise and the Spirit of God. I was just moving all over. And after that, I knew that something happened within me. And God now told me that many of us, we do not praise God. And we are not grateful for all the numerous things that he has done for us. He's feared our life. It's not by our own making that we are sitting down here. He's the one that spared our life. And he saved us. He gave us a lot of things, material blessings. And he delivered us from the kingdom of darkness. And he brought us to his own light. His own light. And sometimes we are full of grumbling. That's the way he gave me. I'm just reading it. Because I have to be right. I wrote it down. We are full of grumbling and complaining about just a minute season or circumstances or difficult time. Not knowing that these times and seasons shall pass to the glory of God. And he brought us from thus far. I don't know why he said he brought us from those far countries. Do you know how many hours do we travel to Africa from here? Like 10, 12, 8, 9? He said he brought us from those far. He said he brought us from those far away countries to enjoy his blessing in where we are. He said he did not bring us here to suffer, says the Lord. I will never leave you. He said, I will never forsake you. He said, be grateful for all what I have done for you and will continue to do, says the Lord. Thanks and praise me for everything. So by the grace of God, we are going to have a general thanksgiving. He mentioned to me that it is not about the money. He said, I want you all to dance and be filled with a grateful heart to me through a special thanksgiving today. It is not about the money in that envelope. It is about the grateful heart. It is not about if you don't have, come with a grateful heart. It's the one that sees our heart. It's that grateful heart that you want to take. And we should make it our lifestyle. Every morning, just be grateful to God. I know the enemy, whenever we wake up as a child of God, is not happy. He will just say, oh, you that child of God, you woke up this morning again. And he wants to put sadness in our heart. He doesn't want us to be happy. But we have to struggle. We have to tell him, you know what? You cannot make me sad. God, my maker, my redeemer, my savior, the sustainer of my life, the one in him that I live, the one in him that I will move, the one in him that I have my being, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You can't put me, you can't give me sadness. I'm going to be happy and be joyful because the one that is in me is greater than the one that is in you. So we are going to do that this morning. So now he says it's not about our money. He wants us to praise him. And he said, according to what we read in that 1 Samuel 6, verse 14, he said, I am going to put on a special garment on all of you this morning as you come and dance before me. Praise the Lord. So number three, examples of those who had a grateful heart. Jesus Christ, our example. Jesus Christ, our Savior. Jesus Christ, our healer. Jesus Christ, our soon coming King. The one that holds our life in his hands. Jesus Christ set a remarkable and great example for us in many ways. And one of them was in thanksgiving. He always gave thanks to the Father. Even though he was God and he didn't have to give thanks for anything because he is God. He is the Son of God. He did not have to give thanks, but he often did. So Jesus Christ gave thanks to God. We are going to go to the book of John, chapter 6. John 6, 11. And Jesus, after he taught all the crowd, 5,000, after he taught them, and Jesus took, he saw them, he had compassion on them. How will I send this crowd away without giving them something to eat? And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples. And the disciples to those sitting down. And likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. Can you go to 12, please? So when they were filled, after they fed them, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is left, is lost. Just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. He just came and gave thanks. Jesus Christ just came. He gave thanks to God for hearing his prayer. He just gave thanks for that. He brought it to the Father and he gave thanks. After that thanksgiving, you see how that bread and the fish multiplied. And after that, see how many baskets that they were able to get. They got a lot of baskets after he fed them. So the same way, even if you don't have anything in your storage, in your pantry, where you put your food, in your storage. And you get there in the morning and you are so hungry. Just smile. Lord, I thank you because I know you are going to fill this empty bowl with food before the end of today. Even in a few hours. Because our God, he wants us to always be appreciative and to always rely on him in everything. And he will now supply those things. He knows that we need them, but he wants to build us. It's like one of those things that we heard in this when we went for this district conference. You see, situation can shake us up, but God wants to use that shaking up. God wants to use that earthquake. It is not like a physical earthquake, but like shaking us up in circumstances and seasons of life. And he wants to use that season to make us to depth into him, at least to go deeper into him. And to go deeper in giving thanks to God. So we have to know, we have to emulate the life of Christ because he gave thanks. Also, in the book of John 11, 41 to 42, 11, that was where he gave thanks. Jesus gave thanks to God for hearing his prayer. Then they took away the stone from the place, that was Lazarus, where the dead was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you. I thank you that you have heard me. Even before he went in to pray for the dead Lazarus, he thanked the Father. He said, Daddy, I thank you. Father, I thank you. And I know that you always hear me because of the people who are standing by. I said this that they may believe that you sent me. He just went to the Father and thanked the Father for making Lazarus, dead man, for a couple of days to rise up. And it did happen. So we have to emulate the life of Christ. We have to emulate the life of this. You know, the Bible is not there for us to just keep as our storybook and keep it in our bag all the time. We have to study and meditate on this word because the same circumstances that those people went through, it may be some of the things we are going through today. And they gave thanks. And God gave them victory. The same way, God wants us to emulate the life of these people, the life of Anna, she gave thanks. David, Jesus Christ, he gave thanks. So he knew, also in Mark 14, 22 to 25, we can write it down. He knew the cross was before him, and he gave thanks to the Father as he broke the bread. He gave thanks to the Father. Not even scared, not even bothered about what is laid before him. So the same way, we have to always give thanks to God, no matter what. We have to always give thanks. So in all this situation, Jesus' response was turning to the Father with a gratitude heart of praise and thanksgiving to the Father for hearing him. So that should be also what we emulate. God, I thank you because I know you are going to hear me. I am this. We should always know that our God answers prayer and should always be grateful to that. So, brethren, how do we respond to situations and circumstances we encounter each day? Is it with a heart of thanks to God for always hearing us, or we complain, murmur, or get upset with ourselves or people around us? Our lifestyle should always be that one of a grateful heart. Number 4, Paul is another example. Paul thanked God for bread and safety, Acts 27:35. Paul thanked God. He said, and when he had said this, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. So we have to be thankful in whatever, no matter what, we have to be thankful. We have to be thankful for God giving us our daily bread, giving us what to eat. Paul thanked God for the Christian fellowship in Rome. We have to be thankful for each other. We have to be thankful for all the ministries. See the sound and media, they are always there, taking care of everything, putting on all what we need here. We have to be grateful to the usher. We have to be grateful for every ministry in this church. We have to be grateful for the Christian fellowship and be grateful of each other. And from there, Acts 28:15. And from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and 3 Inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. That gave him courage that, oh, I thank God that I have all these people around me. So we have to be thankful to God for each other. We have to thank God for the Christian church members and friends. We have to thank God for each of us. We have to thank God for our friends. We have to thank God for our family members. Let us write down Ephesians 1:16. We are not going to go to all of them. Ephesians 1:16. I will just quickly read that one. Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer. That was Paul. So we have to always thank God for each other. We have to pray and thank God for each other. Philippians 1:8. We can write that one down. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 3, chapter 2, verse 13. We are going to read Philemon, verse 4. I thank God, making mention of you in my prayer. The same prayer. So we have to always thank God for each other. Paul thanked God for spiritual gifts. That is 1 Corinthians 14:18 to 19. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. You know, we have to be grateful for whatever gift that God has given us, whatever spiritual gift that he has given to us. We have to be grateful. So what are the benefits of a grateful heart? We have benefits of a grateful heart. When we are grateful, there are certain things that we benefit from it. Number one, it shifts our focus from ourselves and focus our attention continuously on the goodness of God. When you thank God, when we have a grateful heart, our focus, our eyes will be shifted from ourselves, from people around us, and it will be focused on God's goodness. It gets our eyes off ourselves and help us focus on God in every circumstance. Now, we are going to go to a story. That story we read it the last time. That was the story of King Jehoshaphat. So when King Jehoshaphat and his people sang and praised the Lord, they shifted their eyes. They shifted their focus on the bigness of their enemies. Because they shifted that focus because they were scared first. But when they went to God, God gave them instruction. And when their focus was shifted, the fear went away. They shifted their eyes from being fearful of their enemies, but they focused on singing and praising God. Then the Lord set ambushes against their opponent, that is their enemies, and they had victory. So the same way, when we shift our focus from whatever situation that we are going through, let us take it to God and have a grateful heart. God, I thank you because you said you will never leave me, you will never forsake me. Thank you, Jehovah God, because I know you are great and more than enough than this situation. I thank you because I know this time shall pass to your glory. And we start praising God, you will see that everything that is bundled up in our heart as a sign of depression, as a sign of fear, everything will just vanish because we are focusing on God that is bigger and greater than that situation. So then the Lord set ambushes. So through the act of gratitude and thanksgiving, their eyes shifted from fear, anxiety, and impossibility to the greatness and power of God who perfected victory over their enemies. So when we thank God in everything, God gets bigger. God gets bigger. And the circumstances become nothing. Because we choose to say, God, you are bigger than this situation. And that situation will just be nothing. We will just don't bother about it because God has already taken care of it. So number two, it reminds us that we are not in control and God is in control. Honestly, we are not in control. Even we are not in control of our own life because we have surrendered our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ and he's the one that is ruling and reigning in our lives. So it helps us to know and understand that we have a mighty God who can do all things in accordance to his will in our life. So when we choose, it's a decision. It's a deliberate decision and choice that we have to make. Not to allow any situation to overwhelm us. It's a decision when we make that decision, it helps us to know that God is greater and bigger than whatever it is. Number three, it gives us the strength from God to make it through each day successfully and victoriously. And through whatever circumstances, issues of life, seasons and times that we experience every day. And really, we experience a lot of stuff. That's why the Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall continually meditate upon it day and night. He knows that situation will come, but he wants us to fill our heart with his word, which will be the strength that will help us to be able to be grateful and be thankful to God. So Paul and Silas, imagine when they put people in prison. We are going to read it. Maybe that will round us off. Let us go there. Acts chapter 16. Imagine people put in a prison and they decided to start praying and singing praises to God. Do you think that is something that is so good to do? You are in prison in a very unfavorable condition and you decide that, you know what, I want to pray and sing praises to my God. Around the midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God in the prison. And other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, see what God did when they praise God, when they appreciate God, when they are grateful to God that they are in that prison, but they are not alone, that their God will take them out. Suddenly there was a massive earthquake and the prison was shaken to its foundation. All the doors immediately flew open and the chains of every prisoner fell off. That's what happened when you decide to just put that situation aside. And you say, God, I know you are bigger than this. And you start dancing and praising God. Some people will be looking at, what's wrong with you? And you don't have no money. And you are dancing like this. You know that your bank account is full, even though physically it's empty. The jailer woke up to see the prison door wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped. So he drew his sword to kill himself. Oh, they asked me to be taking care of this prisoner. Oh, they have escaped. He said, I'd rather kill myself because before they come and take me also. But Paul shouted to him, stop! Don't kill yourself. We are still here. We are all here. The jailer called for life and ran to the dungeon and fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas when he saw what happened. Then he brought them out and asked, sir, what must I do to be saved? You see how they are praising, how they are thanksgiving their grateful heart. God used this as an avenue of salvation. They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved, along with everyone in your household. And they share the word of the Lord with him and with all who live in his household. Even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. Then he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. He brought them into his house. The jailer brought them into his house. See how God brought favor. Those that were in prison, chained, and asked them, put them there until we ask you to release them. Until put them there. Because they decided to put their situation and circumstances aside and praise God. He brought them into his house and set a meal before them. That's the way God will set a meal before the presence of your enemy. And he and his entire household rejoiced because they all believe in God. They gave their life to Christ. So you see what praise and thanksgiving can do. What we can benefit when we praise God. So Paul and they pray. So both Paul and Silas, they receive strength and courage through their heart of gratitude and appreciation to God amid their struggle, in the midst of their struggle and pain, because they were put there. God used this as an avenue of salvation to the jailer and his entire household. So, brethren, we need to have a heart filled with gratitude, appreciation to God 24/7. We have to live a lifestyle of praise and thanksgiving to God, which will supply all the abundant strength of God upon our spirit, soul, and body, because we need the strength of God for each day. So do not say, we can't say to ourselves, oh, my brother, my sister. You don't even know what I'm going through. If you know the top times and what top things that I'm going through, you will not be advising me to be praising God. It's impossible for me to praise God with this whole whelm of tension all over me. We can't do that to ourselves. But we have to choose and get up and take off all those depressive, all those fearful thoughts, all those things that are weighing us down, and make a choice, a deliberate choice. God, I am going to give you thanks. I am going to be grateful. I am going to worship you. I'm going to honor you by singing praises to you, no matter what I'm going through. And you will see how God will turn it around. See the way God turned it around for Paul and Silas here in prison? And God miraculously brought them out and saved the jailer and his household. So our God is a big God. There is a song that says, I will sing unto the Lord. I'm just, you know, I'm just, as a reader of the Bible, I just felt that maybe that was the song that Paul and Silas were singing. I will sing unto the Lord a joyful song. I will praise his name, for the Lord is good. I just thought maybe that was the song. I will choose to praise God because of my God is good. Number four, benefit of a grateful heart to God. Number four, it strengthens our witness to unbelievers, which we just saw in the story that we just read. So Paul and Silas prayed, they sang, and it resulted in a powerful experience which God used as an avenue of strength to witness to the jailer. Number five, it creates a rich environment for us to live in, within our own heart, in our relationship with our family members and other people. Because when we have a grateful heart, our heart, our eyes, our countenance will be filled with joy. People will want to move around us. They want to move close to us. Than rather being our face squeezed up because of the circumstances, because of the situation. And the way we are responding to it cannot change that situation. It's better for us to just choose to give thanks and praise to God. So number six, it helps us to recognize that we have so much to be thankful. When we begin to thank God, you will start to remember, oh God, I thank you. You will start to remember some things that you can't remember, even the minute, very little things. You will start to remember when you give thanks to God. It will remind us of other things to thank God. Number seven, it reminds us of our continual dependence upon the Lord, not ourselves or other people. We can read Daniel. We read that story already. Is that Daniel? Daniel chose to just praise God no matter what kind of verdict they gave him. So a grateful heart, number eight, a grateful heart keeps us continually aware that the Lord is always close by. That is, his presence is always with us. So my brothers, finally, I want us to avoid complaining, murmuring and grumbling. All these are even sins. When we murmur and complain, it's a sin. And it opens the door for the devil. So I encourage us to always be grateful and thankful to God for being alive, for giving us life, for what we have, not what we don't have. Like many of us in our closet, maybe some clothes are there that we have never put on, maybe this year even. And we are still saying, God, I want more. We should be grateful that we have those clothes in there. God, I thank you for all that you have provided for me, for the provision that he gave us, for the gift of life, for each day, for our family members, for our friends, for our church members, for the food that he gave us, for our job, for giving us car to ride, for giving us strength. Those of us that don't have car, he gave us strength to be able to walk to the bus stop and take the bus. Try to take the bus. The bus is lesser than calling Uber. Sorry. If you can call Uber, you can call Uber. It's just a joke. So also, we ought to thank God in anticipation of his answering our prayers and providing for all our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So knowing all this, it will give us the heart that God always answers prayers. He said, when we ask,
we are going to receive. He said, when we knock, that door will be open to us. He said, when we seek, we are going to find it. So my brothers and my sisters, let us live a lifestyle of a grateful heart. Let us pray.